This podcast is a part of the Carbon Almanac Network of Podcasts.
Hi, I'm Christina. I'm from Prague.
Hi, I'm Jen, and I'm from Canada.
Hi, I'm Olabanji, and I'm from Nigeria.
Hello, I'm Liki, and I live in Paris.
Hi, I'm Brian, and I'm from New York.
Welcome to Carbon Sessions, a podcast with carbon conversations for every day with everyone from everywhere in the world. In our conversations, we share ideas, perspectives, questions, and things we can actually do to make a difference. So don't be shy and join our Carbon Sessions because it's not too late.
Hi, I'm Olabanji.
Hi, I'm Liki.
Hi, I'm Jen. Today, we are talking about vegan food on the Carbon Sessions. And I understand that vegan food, it's becoming more and more common. We are cooking a vegan dinner tonight for a birthday dinner for one of our daughters. So it's a bit of a challenge to change things that she wants to eat into vegan versions of that food. But I understand from both of you, Liki and Olabanji, that there are very different vegan foods in different parts of the world. And I wonder if you wanted to share some of that.
I just wanted to make sure that when we talk about vegan food, we talk about food that excludes everything that is animal produced. So we exclude dairy, do we exclude honey? Is it vegan?
Yes, you exclude honey, you exclude eggs, you exclude anything that comes from a living animal.
Oh.
Or fish.
Hmm.
If you're strictly vegan, some people are vegetarian and that's different. Some people are pescatarian, so they don't eat any animal meat except fish. Some people are flexitarian, like me, because I'm allergic to everything, so I have to pick and choose. We do mostly like very plant heavy, but we do eat meat on occasion. And so there's all different versions of it. But if you're talking strict vegan diet, then you're talking no animal products whatsoever.
Mm. Well, in Hong Kong, there's a very, very big Buddhist community. I don't know what exactly the religion is, the main religion is, but a lot of people are Buddhist. Or it's part of the tradition. So a lot of people go to Buddhist temples because it's a traditional Chinese religion. And Buddhists have this belief that we don't kill. Therefore, Buddhist monks, they eat vegan food. And at some festivals, from celebrations, we eat vegan food as well. Basically, there are some, like, you know, festivities, festivals time. And some vegan food is very popular if you visit the temples. It's made of, okay, of course, there's a lot of plants. It's plant-based. And there's also something that I used to find good, but now that I understand how it's made, I don't like it so much. They try to reproduce the meat. So every dish that is animal-based can be reproduced based on vegan, like with vegan ingredients. And the main component is gluten with some, spices and some chemicals to give the taste of the original meat dish. It's nice to look at because it looks like the real, like when it's chicken, they reproduce the whole chicken and cut it into slice. So it's nice to look at. The taste is, it's so-so, I would say. It's that because I like food, I like meat. And so it doesn't taste like meat, but it's kind of not so bad, but it's good. But the problem with that is that I don't really understand that. You know, if you eat vegan food, why try to replicate traditional meat-based food in a worse way, I think. A worse way in test-wise, I would say. So that's something I don't understand.
Well, I think it comes down to, are you a vegan for, you know, philosophical and ethical reasons? Are you a vegan out of necessity because you can't tolerate meat? Are you a vegan because it's expensive to eat meat? You know, there's lots and lots of reasons why a person might go vegan, and that would depend. So if you're a meat eater and you're really used to eating meat and you still want to eat meat, but you can't for whatever reason, then you might still want a burger that feels like, smells like, looks like meat, but isn't. And if you're a strict vegan for ethical reasons, you might not care. You might prefer not. So, and my one of my problems is I'm allergic to gluten and I'm allergic to soy.
Oh.
So I can't do tofu. I can't do anything that's got gluten in it. I can't do a lot of the substitute pretend food. We call it fake food in this house. And I can't eat a lot of the fake food. So that makes it an extra challenge. But that's interesting that it's made with gluten and it looks like textured. There's that TVP, textured vegan protein, I think mm-hmm. it's called. I think that's made with gluten.
Yeah.
And that can be formed into different looking things. Of course, I've never tasted it, but I think it's made of soy too.
I don't know.
Yeah, so we're making a vegan dinner tonight. And we're making an Italian pasta dish.
Oh.
And we also have gluten-free people. There's three of us out of the four. So we have gluten-free pasta, but the sauce has broccoli and it has typically an Italian sausage. So we're going to be using a Beyond Meat product that's sausage for this. And then it has red chili flakes and it has Parmesan cheese. So some of us can have the Parmesan, but there is a vegan Parmesan that I can't eat, but I think it's made with cashews because a lot of the cheese products are made with cashews and they don't taste exactly mm-hmm. like cheese. And my goodness, you're in Paris. So, yeah. You know, but some of them have the texture or the consistency of a cheese. And so, you know, it's a little addition.
But what is the sausage made of? What is the base of the...
It's got pea protein. So a lot of these things are made with peas, pea protein or lentil protein. And they're formulated in such a way that they're, you know, a sausage is in a casing and you can put whatever into a casing. The casing is vegan. I'm not sure what it's made of, but they put spices in and they make it look like and pretty much taste like, in this case, sausage. But it's processed, so it's not good for you. But once in a while, it's a nice treat.
I'm curious, do you call it sausage and or meat? Because in France, there's a new law project that will forbid the naming this product sausage or meat because the meat lobbies want to protect their products. So are you allowed to call them sausage?
I think they're called, you know, fake sausage, Beyond Beef sausage. I mean, they're not, they're still called that. I know that legislation is coming at some point, but at this point they're still called burgers, they're still called sausages, they're still called these things.
It's like, for example, here there's no oat milk, there's oat drinks, but not oat milk, because we're not allowed to call them milk.
Right. Right. Well, we make our own, so we can call it what we want, but we make our own oat milk. It's cheaper and easier. But Olubanji, I was asking you, what kinds of vegan food do you have where you are? And have you tried them?
Yeah, I have tried a few. It looks like being vegan in Nigeria can be fun because there's so much good food to have, right? And so you may not know these things, but I'll tell them to you anyway. So so you still get to eat the Nigerian jollof. And so there was a time on Twitter, now X, where there was like wars between Nigeria, Ghana and a few African countries about who actually owns the jollof rice. And
sorry, what is jollof?
It's rice. So it's a type of rice. Yeah. and everyone goes, we invented the jollof. And, you know, Ghanaians will say Nigerian jollof does not come close to Ghana jollof. And Ghanaians will come to Nigeria to have jollof. So what do you mean by it doesn't come close? And Nigerians go to Ghana to have jollof as well. And then there's like other countries that say, well, no, yeah, they invented jollof. It was our food and you guys came and picked it. So it's okay. I mean, the cool part of being vegan is you still get to eat the jollof. You get to try efori roll. So there's a dish called efori roll, and it's particularly owned by my tribe in Nigeria, the Yorubas, and it's vegetables and just lots and lots and lots of vegetables. It's a soup, and so you get to try that as well. And there's so many soups, and I guess part of why it's a little fun to be vegan in Nigeria is because the food culture is a lot around soups. There's so many soups you can try, and some of the soups are the plants that are used for some of the soups are already they contain protein themselves. They're rich in vitamin and protein sometimes, and so egusi soup, for example, is one of the foods that is rich in nutrients, and so you can try that. And then there's puff puff is made from flour, but it's done in such a way that the outside of it is brown and the inside is white, and when you piece it apart when it's really really hot, it can be really really good. So you get to try a lot of the food, except that you don't eat meat and some other stuff as well.
I want some recipes now.
I'm definitely sending you pictures. So there's a lot you can do with beans in Nigeria as well. And so you can make bean ball. And bean ball would be... So the beans is grinded into like a watery substance, and then the watery substance is cooked alongside different spices, and then it comes out like a ball at the end of the day, and it's super super delicious. So you can try that as well. Mm-hmm. So you can do the bean ball, you can do the bean cake. Oh, sorry. The one I described just now is the bean cake. And the bean cake is the one that the beans... in both cases, you grind the beans. It becomes like a watery substance. And then in one case, you fry the beans. In the other case, you cook the beans. And so... And you can spice it up with whatever you want. And you can have that with so many things. You can do that with bread. You can eat it with... there's something we call gari. It's like... It's like cereal, but it's not cereal. it's just a lot of cool stuff you can try as if you're vegan in Nigeria. You definitely have things to play with. You have rice to play with. You have beans to play with. You have vegetables to play with. You have soups to play with. Yeah, and you have spices to play with. Our foods can be quite spicy, so you can blend different kinds of spices together and achieve anything you want. So. Yeah, if you're inclined to being vegan, I think you're having a lot of fun.
So if you go to a restaurant in Nigeria, is it hard to be a vegan? You know, sometimes it's hard here. There's not always something to eat in every restaurant. But is it easier? Is it easy? Is there a growing number of people who are vegan there?
Yeah, I have a few friends that are vegan. You would hardly get vegan food in Nigerian restaurants, that's for sure. I have not seen a single vegan restaurant here. In Lagos, there are a few, just a few. But not in most places in Nigeria, you won't find vegan restaurants. So if you want to be vegan, you're going to have to make your own food.
Is the diet by default more vegan than meat-based? Maybe it could be something like that as well.
I think the diet is meat. Is it more vegan than meat-based? I don't think so. It's not really more vegan than meat-based. But if you remove the meat in a lot of the food, you would naturally arrive at a vegan diet. So if you want vegan food, you can go to a restaurant and all you have to do is when you're, you know, picking or choosing what you want to eat, just don't eat the meat. And you probably would already have a vegan food. You may not get an alternative source of protein, but yeah, you'd get the rest of it.
This is the type of vegan food I like. Vegan and vegetarian food is a celebration of flavors, of texture, of spices, instead of trying to replicate what is missing. You know, instead of saying, okay, we're missing out on this, so we'll try to do it, but less good, but because we're really missing it. This is a new way. This is not a new way. It's a better way of appreciation of showing the appreciation for food. It's really celebration of texture and taste and flavors and everything. So this is the kind of vegan food I like.
Yeah.
I love the spices and the different ways of spicing foods.
Yeah.
Also, because just this different spice combination can change the whole flavor of a dish. You know, you might have a whole bunch of vegetables and rice, but if you flavor it differently with spices, you end up with a totally different kind of dish.
Absolutely.
And that's, I love that. Our spice cupboard is huge. We have all our spices in little plastic boxes, yeah, with labels. And when you open the cupboard, they're all alphabetized because we cook a lot, but wow, it's so fun to mix them up and have different
flavors. Yeah, it's beautiful. I think it's beautiful.
How about you where you are, Leaky? How is being vegan in Paris?
It's becoming easier. I would not say that it's a vegan place. I think it's becoming easier in the past few years, maybe in the past 5 years. Now, when you go to a traditional restaurant, you can find at least one fish-based dish and one vegan dish. And this is new. This is really new. Like 5 years ago, it wasn't like that. 5 years ago, everything was meat-based. But now there are some very good vegan restaurants, but it's not mainstream. Yeah. And especially if you go to outside of Paris, if you go to rural area, no. It's quite hard to find vegan food.
Wow.
Because there's a lot of cheese, a lot of recipes are cheese based, so that's, and also a lot of butter is used, so it's not that easy.
I love butter. I love butter. I don't want to give up butter. I live on the west coast of Canada, and I can't speak to the rest of the country, but I know that on the west coast, we have a lot more, and I think it's recent as well. But we have entire vegan bakeries, we have gluten-free bakeries, we have vegan restaurants that are standalone vegan restaurants. My problem is being allergic to soy and gluten and nuts. I can't partake in a lot of the vegan cheese because it's made with cashews. I have to be careful of the nuts and the soy, the tofu. So I have a difficult time no matter where I eat, which is why I'm not exclusively vegan, because I would be eliminating being able to eat much at all.
Yeah.
So it's a challenge. We cook a lot at home because we have, you know, so many people that are allergic to everything in our family. So we have a challenge with food, but we can usually find something that suits if we're not wanting to eat meat that day at a restaurant most of the time, not always.
May I ask you, why has your family decided to eat less meat?
Well, our one daughter is a vegan for ethical reasons, and she has been for years. We have my mother and another daughter who are vegetarian. My mother is pescatarian. She will eat fish, but she doesn't eat any other kind of meat. And that's also for the love of animals. And our family, it's the rest of us, it's partly that and partly health. For the studies that have come out on longevity, the studies that have come out on visceral fat, like around your organs, the studies that have come out around, you know, strength and athleticism, and how a plant-forward diet can be beneficial. So it's a combination of reasons. And again, we're not exclusively, that's why I call us a flexitarians. And if we go to somebody's house and they've made us a chicken dinner, we'll eat it, right? It's not like we're Well, we will. Our daughter won't. Our two daughters won't. But you know, I have enough allergies when people invite us for dinner that I have to give them a ridiculous list as it is. And those are like anaphylactic reactions, and I'll be sick, sick, sick for days or dead. So so I'm not gonna say, oh, don't feed me meat or fish, right? So yeah, so it's a bit of a navigation adventure, but my goodness, I especially love cooking foods from around the world, because you learn so much about, like I was talking last time about jackfruit. We can buy jackfruit in tins, and jackfruit shreds like shredded pork. It's very interesting. It's got a neat texture, and you can put barbecue sauce on it, and you can bake it in the oven on a cookie sheet, and then you can put it in tacos, taco shells, or you can put it on hamburger buns, and you can make all sorts of delicious things with jackfruit. And it looks like it looks ridiculously like meat, but it tastes really good.
But then again, you're trying to replicate a meat recipe. Right.
if it's comfort food, you know, but there's no chemicals involved, right? I mean, it's pretty healthy. So, yeah. I was going to tell you about a pudding that I've been making that I discovered using beans. I don't know what kind of beans you were talking about, Olabanji, but these are black beans. And you take a can of black beans and drain it, and you throw it in a blender or a food processor. You put a quarter cup of or half a cup of syrup, like maple syrup, or we have maple syrup here, but if you don't have that, then some kind of sweetener. You put a quarter cup of cocoa powder, and you put a teaspoon of vanilla and a little tiny bit of salt. Blend it up, and it makes the best chocolate pudding ever, and it's full of protein.
Wow.
And it does not taste like beans. It does, I promise. It does not taste like beans.
Wow, that's
takes
cool.
5 minutes to make, and you don't have to feel guilty you're eating chocolate pudding because it's actually beans.
Well, can I share a recipe with you that involves three ingredients and 5 minutes to make? It's a salad I've eaten in Italy, I think. In Italy, definitely. And it's based on, how do I pronounce it? Fennel?
Fennel?
Fennel, yeah.
That licorice-flavored plant, yes.
Yeah. And so slice it very, very thinly with mandolin. Mandolin. So slice it very thinly. Put it on the plate, and then cut a lemon, and then put a little bit of lemon juice, a lot of lemon juice. And then the secret is in the olive oil. Just get the best olive oil you can find, and then splash it, put a lot of it, and that's it. It's delicious. Wow. It's very easy, and it's really, really delicious. And it tastes like Sardinia. Actually, I had it in Sardinia, now I remember. So it's a taste of Sardinia. It's really easy and very good and very healthy, I believe.
That's cool.
Sounds fabulous. Do you guys have, we have olive oil stores here where you can go in and do samplings and tastings of olive oil and balsamic vinegar, honestly. And you walk around with little spoons, and the olive oil tastes so different depending on where it comes from.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you have that where you are?
I get my olive oil from the butcher. Because my butcher is a halal butcher, and he has some connection in Algeria, and he imports some olive oil from one of his relatives, and so he has got the best olive oil. So I get my olive oil from my butcher.
We get ours from a Middle Eastern shop, and they import it from the Middle East, and it's good olive oil.
Yeah. Well, Benji, do you have in Nigeria some special oil? Because it makes total difference.
Yeah, we do. We actually do have olive oil. It's not as common as the vegetable oil, but we do have olive oil. I've got olive oil in my kitchen right now. You can get a selection. You can get any kind of, well, I won't say any kind, but you can get almost any kind of olive oil that you want. Yeah.
Oh, I also use a lot of sesame oil because the taste is really, really different. It's like, it makes the dish completely alive. I love it.
Sesame oil. Yeah.
Sesame oil. Yeah.
I haven't tried that one.
It's got a very heavy, it almost smells like nuts, but it's
don't
not.
Cook it. Eat it raw. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very good.
Oh.
And what about sesame? What about tahini? Sesame paste. I love that. Tahini.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
No.
We do have that. Yeah. Yeah. We do have it, that. Oh, yeah. Oh, Benji, do you cook?
Yeah, I do cook. I do cook.
Do you have a lovely recipe to share with us?
No, I do cook. I don't cook a lot. Yeah, but I do try to cook. Today, I made beans.
What kind of beans?
So there's this kind of beans we make in Nigeria. It's beans and plantain and anything else you want in it. But it's just beans and plantain, and then you cook it together, and then the sweetness of the plantain sort of mixes with the beans, and then it just becomes a whole nice dish. So, yeah, that was what I made today.
Are they black beans or white beans? Or?
Yeah, they're brown beans. Yeah.
That would be like our pork and beans, but without the pork.
Yeah, something like that. Something like that, yeah.
That would be sweet and delicious.
And forgive my manners, I didn't wish you both happy International Women's Day. So, happy International Women's Day.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
You guys are the best, the absolute best.
Aw. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Now I'm hungry, guys.
That's the problem.
I just had a bowl of beans, so I'm good.
Yeah. The podcast recording is always before dinner time on Friday. And I'm always hungry as well. That's probably why we talk so much about food.
And mine is, it's before lunch for me here. So,
Delicious.
It's actually before dinner here as well. I just had to eat early. I was hungry.
Right.
Maybe I should try that. Eat before podcasts.
Yeah.
Then we'll talk about exercise.
That's right. That'll be next. Well, I think another thing to talk about, eating more plants, even once a week, if people want to try it, it helps to reduce all sorts of emissions, helps to reduce the methane if there's less demand for cow. And there's a lot of good that can come of it if we at least try a little bit to eat a little bit more plant based than processed or
I feel absolutely unwell when I don't eat vegetables. So
and that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because if your body is naturally into it, then that's actually really cool. I decided to stop eating processed food maybe 2 years ago.
Wow.
And I still do once in a while, but it's definitely gone drastically down. So I hardly eat processed food. I'll either cook my food or just buy real food, and I try to have vegetables as much as I can, and fruits as well. So it's healthy. It's good all around. There's no downside to it. I don't see a downside to it at all. So
it takes time.
It can be inconvenient sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But but it's always a great decision.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, years ago, there wasn't processed food. And it you had to eat and you had to take, it took time. And there was a good thing in that, too. You know, you knew where your food came from. You knew what you were putting together and what you were putting into your body. And less preservative, less chemical. I guess it's about priorities. It's also hard because sometimes it's expensive to cook fresh food. Sometimes it's cheaper for people to buy something already made and put it in the microwave, which is unfortunate because you're getting all sorts of extra stuff you don't want in your body when you're eating processed food. But
yeah, it should be cheaper to stay healthy.
I think every little tiny step helps.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I guess it's a problem that needs solving, right? And it should be cheaper to stay healthier than to stay unhealthy. So that's some problem we're going to have to solve as a race, as a human race, or as a people, a community of people. So, yeah.
So what should we leave the listener with today? Besides some recipes.
Well, as you said, try to eat vegetarian or vegan food at least once a week. And I would suggest listeners to try new foods. You would be surprised. You know, go to the supermarket, go to the market, look for new foods you've never tried, you've never cooked, and ask people around you. So it's a great way to discover new food and connect with other people. It's how I do it.
I love it.
Absolutely. 100%. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Go have dinner, you two. Oh, you already did, Olivanti. You have some more.
I will. I definitely will.
You've been listening to Carbon Sessions, a podcast with carbon conversations for every day with everyone from everywhere in the world. We'd love you to join the Carbon Sessions so you too can share your perspectives from wherever you are. This is a great way for our community to learn from your ideas and experiences, connect, and take action. If you want to add your voice to the conversation, go to thecarbonalmanac.org/podcasts and sign up to be part of a future episode. This podcast is also part of the Carbon Almanac Network. For more information, to sign up for the emails, to join the movement, and to order your copy of the Carbon Almanac, go to thecarbonalmanac.org. Be sure to subscribe and join us here again, as together we can change the world.